Welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. So today's episode is going to be kind of a fun one, and I'm going to be talking about two different horror stories that originated on the internet. The first is a story that took place entirely over Twitter, and it's called Dear David, and the other is actually about the character Slender Man that originated on an internet forum way back in 2009, but is still widely known and well talked about to this day. The internet is full of creepy stories like these, and the fact that people can write them anonymously from behind their phone or computer makes it really hard to differentiate between what's true and what's perhaps just creative writing, which I think is actually really fun, not knowing if something's true or not, and it kind of leaves it up to the reader for you to decide what we individually think is real or not. If you're interested in reading more stories like these, I recommend the two subreddits. Creepypasta is the first one, and the other is the No Sleep subreddit, both of which include lots of creepy short stories written by users that you'll never know if it's real or not. You can find Weird on the Rocks on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Please subscribe wherever you're listening now so that you always get the newest episode right when it's released. Today's episode is sponsored by Two Beauties Skincare and Makeup. Do you love beauty? Do you love supporting local business? Two Beauties Skin and Makeup, located in the heart of Old Town Eureka, is your one-stop destination for all things beauty on the North Coast. They offer clinical skincare services, chemical peels, waxing, and professional makeup application from licensed and experienced professionals only. Two Beauties also carries a large selection of high-end makeup and skincare products like Janmarini, Glow Skin Beauty, Kula, and Oma Beauty, to name a few. And the awesome owner over at Two Beauties, Liz, has created a special discount code just for you, Weird on the Rocks listeners. Head over to their beautiful new website, twobeauties.org, and use the code Weird on the Rocks at checkout to receive 10% off your entire order. Not only do they carry tons of high-quality makeup and skincare products, but they also have merch, candles, beauty tools, makeup brushes, and so much more. You will absolutely find something on their site for you. So don't forget to use code WEIRDONTHEROCKS at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Easily shop gift cards and all your beauty needs at www.twobeauties.org. That's 2TWO beauties.org. Or find them on social media at Two Beauties Eureka. Love beauty, shop local. Two Beauties in Old Town Eureka since 2016. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. Today I'm drinking a non-alcoholic Heineken because, yes, I'm still pregnant. This pregnancy, I swear, has simultaneously felt like it's dragged on slowly and also that it's just flown by at the same time. But as of today, when I'm recording, I have 45 days left, I think, until my due date, which is just crazy to me. I mean, that's right around the corner. And I'm really looking forward to having a real beer or a glass of wine or margarita or a White Russian or a mojito. Oh God, it all sounds so good. But over the past few months, my husband and I have been trying different non-alcoholic beers, and the Heineken one is definitely the best one we've tried. I normally don't drink Heineken, like regular beers. I don't think I've ever had one actually, but it actually tastes like real beer, unlike a lot of the other nasty stuff we've subjected ourselves to over the last couple months. So if you're not drinking for whatever reason, but miss the taste of beer, definitely try the Heineken one. It's pretty good. All right, well, let's get into it. Cheers, and let's get weird. In August of 2017, artist Adam Ellis began tweeting on his personal Twitter page about something odd that was happening in his apartment. The story is pretty long and continues on for months. Throughout the story, Adam included photos and some videos along with his tweets. I will be adding all of the attached photos to the Weird on the Rocks Facebook page, and you can also find them by Googling Dear David. Adam's first tweet about Dear David was on August 7th, 2017. He says, "So, my apartment is currently being haunted by the ghost of a dead child, and he's trying to kill me. He started appearing in dreams, but I think he's crossed over into the real world now. The first time I saw him, I was experiencing sleep paralysis and saw a child sitting in the green rocking chair at the foot of my bed. He had a huge, misshapen head that was dented on one side. I did my best to draw it, and I have included a photo of this on my Facebook page. For a while, he just stared at me, but then he got out of the chair and started shambling towards the bed. I couldn't move because I was paralyzed. I have sleep paralysis fairly often. It sucks. Right before he reached my bed, I woke up screaming. I had another dream a few nights later where I was in a library, and a girl came up to me and said, 'You've seen Dear David, haven't you?' I was like, 'Who?' And she said, 'Dear David, you saw him.' She continued to say, 'He's dead. He only appears at midnight, and you can ask him two questions if you said, Dear David, first.' Then she added, 'But never try to ask him a third question, or he'll kill you.' I was very shaken. Having two dreams about the same thing is pretty weird. Anyway, a couple weeks passed without another incident. Then David came back in another dream. Same situation, I was in bed and he was sitting in the rocking chair near the window, staring at me. In the dream, I say, 'Dear David, how did you die?' He mumbles, 'An accident in a store.' I say, 'Dear David, what happened in the store?' He groans, 'A shelf was pushed on my head.' I'm frozen with fear. I ask, 'Who pushed the shelf?' David doesn't answer. I realize that I've asked a third question, which I'm not supposed to do. At that point, I wake up absolutely terrified. The next couple days, I Google deaths in the city, but can't find anything about a kid named David dying in a store. I even tried different names, Daniel, Dylan, Devin, nothing. A few weeks go by without another incident. Sort of randomly, the apartment above mine is vacated, and I have the opportunity to move into it. It's a larger apartment, so I'm thrilled. Another month or two goes by, and I sort of forget about Dear David. I think he lost track of me because I moved upstairs. But lately, something strange is happening. For the past four nights, my cats gather at the front door at exactly midnight and just stare at it, almost like something is on the other side. Last night, I got a weird feeling and looked out the peephole, and I'm dead certain I saw movement on the other side of the door." He includes a photo of his two cats staring at his front door. "When I opened the door and turned on the hall light, nothing was there, but my cats seemed unnerved, bushy tails, etc. And that's where I am right now. Dear David found me, I think. I don't know what to do. I'll keep you updated." 2 days later, Adam tweets, "Update. For the sixth night in a row, my cat has walked over to the door promptly at midnight and stared at it." He includes a photo of his cat staring at the door while he holds a clock that reads 12 o'clock. "Okay, so I took a photo through the peephole because I'm too scared to open the door. I feel like I saw something. I couldn't tell, so I mustered the courage to open the door. Nothing was out there, but I took another photo. Look at this." He includes two photos taken through his peephole that look out into a common area that shows a shelf and the top of a staircase. Both of the photos are on Facebook. "Is it just me, or is there something in the first photo, right where the banister meets the shelves, hiding on the stairs? I wasn't sure if it was a smudge or something, so I took a second photo from inside. There was something out there." He includes two zoomed-in photos of the previous two. "There's nothing discernible to be seen, but it appears as though there is a subtle shadow at the top of the stairs. I deadbolted the lock and got in bed because I don't know what else to do. I can still hear my cat meowing at the door. I'm pretty scared." The next day, August 10th, 2017. "It's been pretty quiet tonight. I'm going to try out a sleep talk app to see if anything happens during the night. I'm heading to bed, but the cats are back at the door. They only do this in the middle of the night. It's routine now." And he includes a selfie of him that shows his two cats staring at the door. He also included a video of his cat next to the door, meowing very loudly. "Maxwell is extra talkative tonight. He's obviously trying to tell me something. The next day, August 11th, I used a sound app to record my apartment last night. It makes individual recordings each time it hears something. There were 33 recordings. Most of them are pretty vague. A couple of them are passing cars and the like, but there are three that I'm interested in. He includes the audio on his Twitter, but I'm not going to play them because they are extremely quiet and I don't think you will be able to hear anything. I honestly didn't really even hear anything when I was listening to them. He continues, "The first is a snapping sound and what seems like a single step. It's odd because I didn't get out of bed all night. This one is weird because out of 33 recordings, this is the only one that has that strange electric sound throughout it. This directly follows the electric static. Another snap, then I groan in my sleep. These happen between 2 and 3 a.m. I have no explanation for them. I'll keep recording and share if I find anything curious." The next day, August 12th. Getting the F out of my haunted apartment for the weekend. 2 days later, on August 14th. So, a weird thing just happened. Take it with a grain of salt. I bought a Polaroid camera this weekend because they're fun and dorky. I decided to take a few photos around my apartment. Polaroids are stupid and fun and inherently kind of creepy. I didn't expect to find anything, and for the most part, I didn't. I took a couple photos of my living room and bedroom. That's the rocking chair I first saw David in. They're pretty unremarkable. He includes photos of the Polaroids that show nothing of significance. Then I went to the hallway and snapped a photo. The Polaroid developed completely black. He includes a photo of a Polaroid that is all black. I even ripped open and destroyed a fresh pack to see if it was just an undeveloped Polaroid, but they start out white. He includes a photo of a pack of open Polaroids. I also thought maybe I accidentally covered the lens with my fingers, so I took a photo while intentionally covering it. The photo on the left is me covering the lens with my finger. The one on the right is my fully lit hallway taken just after midnight. He includes a photo of him holding two Polaroids. The one taken in the hallway is completely black, while the one he took with his finger over the lens is splotchy looking. So this could be nothing. I'm not sure what to make of it. Okay, and one last thing because I wanted to double check. Here's a couple of videos of me taking photos. He includes a video of himself taking a Polaroid photo of his living room and putting the undeveloped Polaroid on the counter. He continues, and one of the hallway, and he includes a video of him taking a Polaroid of the hallway. He goes back inside the apartment and looks at the first photo, which clearly shows his living room. He waits a minute for the hallway photo to develop, and again, this one is completely black. He continues, it came out totally black again, for the second time. Honestly, I don't know why I'm still fucking around with this camera. There might be a logical explanation. Someone told me to take photos from further away, so I tried that. Once with my iPhone and once with the Polaroid. Left is with my phone, right is with my Polaroid. The hall light was on both times. Why is it pitch black each time with the Polaroid? He includes two photos. The one taken on his phone shows a lit up hallway, while the Polaroid shot shows a completely black hallway. This whole thread has been really convoluted, and I'm sorry that it's hard to follow. I just thought that this was all weird, and I wanted to share. The next day, August 14th. Folks have been urging me to get some sage, so I did. And he includes a photo of him holding a lit bundle of sage. Saging the hall and definitely saging the hell out of this rocking chair. Honestly, sage doesn't seem like it'll help much, but I'm open to anything. I barely slept last night. I kept waking up feeling like something was wrong. But who knows, maybe this will do something. The next day, August 15th. Sage did not work. I haven't dreamed about David in a few months, but he appeared again last night. In the dream, my bedroom was filled with hazy smoke, but I could see David sitting in the chair across the room. He was smaller this time, almost shrunken. He didn't do or say anything except look at me. Anyways, it just feels like a bad omen. 2 days later, August 17th. It's been 2 weeks and he still does this every night at midnight. He includes a photo of his cat staring at the door. Other weird stuff has been happening too. I've been recording myself sleeping and it picks up this weird static electricity sound every night at 3. It lasts about 5 minutes. This morning I woke up to the whole house shaking. It felt like a small earthquake. I debated even mentioning that on Twitter because it honestly sounds made up, but I distinctly felt the house swaying. It's just a bunch of small things happening at once. I feel really uneasy, like right before a thunderstorm comes. Everyone's telling me to move, but I don't have any guarantee that this won't just follow me. The next day, August 18th. They just issued a thunderstorm warning for tonight. He includes a photo of a thunderstorm warning off of the Weather Channel. Everyone in the city is talking about how weird the sky looks. I can hear rolling thunder in the distance. 3 days later, August 21st. All this ghost stuff has been spooky, but this past weekend was the first time I actually felt unsafe in my home. On Friday night, there was supposed to be a huge storm. In the end, it passed, but that night was bizarre anyway. I fell asleep pretty early. I was incredibly tired for some reason. I had a dream that night where David was dragging me by the arm through an old abandoned warehouse. I'm not sure why I didn't fight back in the dream or how he was strong enough to pull me, but that's dream logic for you. It was a creepy dream, but I didn't think much of it when I woke up. I took a shower, and then I noticed something. I'd woken up with a huge bruise on my arm. He includes a photo of his arm with a bruise. Now look, maybe I injured myself the day before and my arm was hurting during the night, which manifested as a dream. There could be a totally logical explanation for it. So I brushed it off. I went to get coffee, which I do every weekend. When I walk to the coffee place, I always pass a food cart repair depot. It's always incredibly busy, especially on the weekends. I've lived in the neighborhood for over 4 years, and the place has always been jam-packed with carts getting fixed. But today, it was completely abandoned. The whole warehouse was completely gutted and empty. He includes two photos of the empty warehouse. Well, almost empty. I went inside to look around because I was astonished that this place was suddenly empty after all these years. Basically, the only thing in the entire warehouse was a single green chair. He shows a photo of the empty warehouse with a small wooden green chair sitting in the open. If you recall, David first appeared in my green rocking chair. It could be nothing, but it's weird that it was the only thing left behind. On my way back from coffee, the warehouse had been shuttered. It's remained shuttered ever since. He includes a photo of the warehouse with the metal garage door down. The chair, my bruise, dreaming about an empty warehouse and then passing by one, it just gives me the creeps. Needless to say, I didn't sleep much that night. Too many strange things are happening, and it's happening more frequently. So, I don't know. Anyway, it was a strange weekend. 4 days later, August 25th. There have been a few small developments in my apartment, but I'm not really sure what to make of them. I just know that I'm scared. If you recall, my cats usually gather at the door at midnight, but lately it's been getting earlier and earlier every night. I was almost used to a routine, so when they started to cry at the door closer to 10, I was confused. They began a new routine. They hover around the door at 10 p.m., cry for about 15 minutes, and then wander off as if nothing's wrong. But this week, something else has been happening. Shortly after the cat stuff, so around like 10:30 or so, I start getting phone calls from an unmarked number. My entire call history for the past week looks like this. You'll notice that I answered once yesterday. He includes a screenshot from his phone showing the same unknown number calling numerous times. Since this has been happening for days on end, I thought it might be automated telemarketer or something. Usually if it's an automated thing, if you answer once, they'll quit calling, so I picked it up. Instead, what I heard on the other end was a peculiar electrical static sound, very similar to the static sound that my sleep app picks up at night. I didn't say anything, I just listened, waiting for some automated message to chime in. After about a minute, the static stopped and there was silence. I kept listening. I heard what I thought was breathing, but it was so faint I couldn't be sure. My heart was racing, so it was kind of hard to hear. Then, just as I was about to hang up, I heard a very small voice whisper, "Hello." Something about the way they said hello freaked me out. It wasn't a question or a greeting, just hello, a flat statement, so quiet that I could barely hear it. I panicked and hung up. I didn't know what else to do. I closed all the curtains in my apartment and turned on every single light. I watched TV until dawn because I was too scared to sleep. I sort of feel like I'm losing my mind. If I look at each individual incident on its own, there are perfectly logical explanations for everything. But after 3 weeks of weird shit happening, I don't know how to make sense of it all. The only thing I feel like I can do right now is write everything down. So that's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm going to keep doing. 3 days later, August 28th. So I moved the green chair out of the bedroom weeks ago. It's been in various parts of the living room ever since. I should probably get rid of it, but I'm not sure that would have any effect. Also, I'm going on vacation to Japan in 3 weeks, and I keep thinking if I can make it to my trip, this will all end, as dumb as that sounds. David lost track of me once I moved, so maybe if he believes I've left the apartment again, he'll just leave me alone. Anyway, last week I bought a pet monitoring camera so I can keep an eye on the cats while I'm overseas. It's basically a nanny cam that connects to the Wi-Fi, so you can check in whenever you want. It runs 24/7. It also alerts you to sound and movement via an app. In any event, I decided to test it out this weekend. I was away from home one night, so I set up the camera before I left. My phone pinged periodically through the evening, alerting me to the cats running around and playing. Normal stuff. Then, around 11, it alerted me again that it detected motion. But when I checked the feed of my apartment, I didn't see anything. So I watched the feed again. Still nothing. I watched it a third time. And finally notice something. Watch the chair. He includes a video that shows the green chair rocking back and forth on its own. I knew it couldn't be the wind because I haven't had the windows open at all this summer. I have AC and I like to keep it chilly. It was unnerving, but there wasn't anything I could do about it right then, so I flipped my phone off and tried not to panic. About an hour later, I got another motion alert. He includes another video taken in his apartment that shows the corner of the green chair and a shelf with various items on it. It appears as if something falls off the shelf. He continues, "If you missed it the first time, like me, look above the shelf. It's a little turtle shell that I hung on the wall. Yes, I know it's weird to own a turtle shell, but my family lives in Montana, and I picked it up last year at a native trading post." He includes a photo of him holding the turtle shell. "Since I've been back home, I've been too nervous to turn the camera back on, and today has been pretty quiet. That said, I feel really uneasy. I put the chair in the hall. I hope nothing else happens tonight." A week later, on September 5th, it's happening again. "I've been leaving the nanny cam on 24/7. It records every time there's movement or sound, as you know. I was going over the feed from this weekend and noticed some weird stuff. During the night on Saturday, while I slept, it recorded the cats in the living room. It seemed pretty unremarkable at first. But then, after a few moments, Maxwell freaks out and jumps over something invisible. He includes a video of his cat jumping and then looking at the spot that he had just jumped over, as if something was there. I didn't think it was a bug or anything. Maxwell doesn't react like that with bugs. He just eats them. Something definitely spooked him. What's more, I almost never get bugs. I've seen maybe 3 in the years that I've lived here. Anyway, the next night, the camera recorded a couple more strange videos. Specifically, it recorded Maxwell doing this on and off for hours. He includes a photo of his cat standing up on its hind legs while sitting on the couch. He'd sit up on its hind legs and peer around the room as if looking for something or looking at something. This is odd behavior for him, and I can't come up with an explanation for it, especially because of the next video. He then includes a video of his cat standing up on its hind legs and looking around the room, then swatting at something in the air. I suppose there's a chance it's a fly, but I never really get flies, so it seems kind of unlikely. I just can't shake the feeling that something has made its way into my apartment. It's odd behavior for Maxwell in any event. 11 days later, September 16th. I've been having so many nightmares lately. They're way more intense than my usual dreams, too. I don't know if it's because I'm stressed or if it's something else. This afternoon, I took a nap and had a dream I haven't been able to shake. In the dream, I was laying in bed and rolled over to face the other direction. On the pillow next to me was a severed head with a bloody spine attached, snaking down the bed. The head was staring right at me, somehow still alive. It had this huge smile plastered on its face. Horrified, I screamed, "What happened to you?" The head smiled even bigger. "It feels great," the head groaned. After that, I woke up. It was dark outside by then, and everything was quiet. Other dreams have been just as strange. Things like dark figures staring in my windows, even though I live on the second floor. Stuff that makes no sense in relation to what I've been experiencing in real life. After that dream about the head, I've been feeling uneasy all night. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I decided to go for a walk, if for no other reason than just to get out of my apartment. I went to the bodega a few blocks away to get a snack. On the way, I had to pass the warehouse that was boarded up a few weeks ago. It's actually on the way to pretty much everything. I pass it twice a day just to get to the subway. I hurried past it since it freaks me out now. At the bodega, I got some Doritos and a seltzer and made my way back home. When I passed the warehouse a second time, I heard a dull thunk from the other side of the shutters. I froze in place, but there was no other sound after that. I probably should have just continued on, but curiosity got the better of me. There was a grated window next to the doors, about a foot above my head. Too high to see into. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to hold my phone up to the window, take one photo, and then run. I made sure my flash was on, positioned my camera lens through one of the grates, and snapped a photo. I almost thought I saw movement when the flash went off, but I couldn't be certain. The light bounced off the grates, and it was pretty blinding. I couldn't even look at the photo. I just ran all the way home. I was too jumpy to look at it for a while. I just ate my Doritos nervously. When I finally did look at the photo, here's what I saw. It seemed to be a different part of the warehouse, maybe an office. There was a bunch of old insulation and what looked like a filing cabinet and a ripped up leather desk chair. He includes a photo of the office space. Then I noticed something else in the upper right corner, something that looked like a face. The more I stared at it, the more it looked like a nondescript blur. Now I can't even be sure what I'm seeing. Maybe I'm too deep into this and my brain wants to see David when he's not even there. 6 days later, September 22nd. The past few days have been fairly quiet. I haven't been spending much time at home. I leave for Japan in a couple hours. I've been trying to avoid anything weird before my trip. I still feel like this all might stop if I just leave for a couple weeks. Whatever happens, I want to thank everyone for their kind thoughts and concerns. This whole ordeal has been pretty stressful, and it means a lot. It makes me feel like I'm not going through this alone. See you in a couple weeks. 11 days later, October 3rd. It's my last full day in Japan. The past couple weeks have been pretty peaceful. I have people taking care of the cats, and they said they're doing fine. This morning, I went for a long walk around Sapporo. I never really plan my vacations. I like to just wander around a lot and see what I find. I came across this statue in a park. I couldn't find out any real information about it online, but it was weird and pretty. He includes a photo of a large sculpture that appears to have a woman and children carved into it. I was taking pictures of it from different angles since it's cylindrical. I moved around to one side and almost dropped my phone at what I saw. It felt too similar to be a coincidence. I felt dizzy staring up at it. This kid with a dented head. He includes a close-up photo of the sculpture that shows a woman holding a small child with a misshapen head. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's nothing. It doesn't feel like nothing. Anyway, I have to pack up for my flight home in the morning. It'll be good to see the cats again at least. 2 days later, October 5th. I made it home safely. The cats are fine, if a little more talkative than usual. 9 days later, October 14th. Weird things have been happening with the electricity in my apartment this week. First, two bulbs have burned out in the hallway in less than a week. At this point, I've just left it alone, rather than get a ladder again. But the strangest thing has to do with the backlight on my TV. It's an LED strip that plugs into the TV itself via a USB. The TV has to be on in order for the backlight to be on. But last night, the backlight was flickering on and off by itself. I noticed it just sometime before dawn when I woke up and went to the kitchen to get some water. I'd barely gotten back into bed when I saw a faint light coming in from the living room. After a few seconds, it went dark again. I went back into the living room and stood there watching the backlight go on and off for a few minutes. It was really bizarre. Eventually, it stopped, and now the backlight doesn't work at all. It's only a couple of months old, so it shouldn't be dead already. Anyway, I couldn't get back to sleep, so I went to the diner near my apartment. It was the only thing open at 4 a.m. When I got back home, the sun was starting to come up, so I figured I might as well shower and go into work early. I showered and brushed my teeth and then headed into the bedroom to get dressed. As I passed the front door, I thought I heard a faint scratching sound from the other side. It was so soft, I wasn't sure if it had really happened. I went over to the door, but I was too scared to look through the peephole. I couldn't bring myself to actually put my face that close to the sound, so I opted to take a photo through the peephole instead. Since there's a skylight just outside my door, the hall was awash in faint yellow-green light. I snapped a couple photos. At first, the photos didn't seem like anything, just blurry nothingness. But as I analyzed it, I started noticing things. Part of a face, an ear and an eye staring right back at me. He includes a photo taken through the peephole that shows a shadowy object. I think maybe it's time to get someone else involved. It's obvious this isn't going to stop until I do something. I'm just not sure what that is yet. I'll let you know when I figure it out. He then includes a photo where he draws over the previous photo, outlining where he believes it shows David's eye and part of his head looking through the peephole. 12 days later, October 26th. Sorry for the radio silence the past couple weeks. First, I had a friend come over to do some cleansing stuff. He did the whole apartment and the hallway. A lot of self-proclaimed professional mediums have reached out, plus about a dozen Ghost Hunter TV shows. I've declined them all because I don't really want strangers in my house sensationalizing what's going on. So instead, I had a friend come over and cleanse the place, and for about a week or so, it seemed like it worked. Things appeared to go back to normal. The cats weren't gathering at the door anymore, and I stopped having the dreams. It was starting to seem like it was over. Then, one morning last week, I was walking to work and I passed the shuttered warehouse as usual. This time, all the metal doors were wide open. Sunlight pouring in. The warehouse was still almost empty, except for one thing. There was a hearse parked near the back wall. He includes a photo of a hearse inside the empty warehouse. The warehouse has been closed for over 2 months. I have no idea why it was open that day. Nobody was around. It was weird, but I try not to think about it. It's not all that strange to see a hearse, I guess. Like, they have to park somewhere, right? I tried to put it out of my mind, and the next several days were pretty uneventful. But something else happened last night. It was around 11 or so, and I was watching TV on the couch. I went into the dining room to get a drink from the fridge and noticed both the cats sitting at the far window staring up at it. The window looks out onto the roof of the business next door. I glanced out the window but didn't see anything. I figured that maybe there was a mouse in the wall or something. I shrugged and grabbed a beer from the fridge. As I went to get the bottle opener, I noticed something. There's a window in the kitchen which looks out onto the same roof, and someone was standing on the roof staring at me. I immediately ducked down. I reached up and flicked off the light switch. I peered over the window sill but couldn't see much. My phone was in my pocket, so I grabbed it and I took a photo. It was blurry and dark, but I swear someone was out there. He includes a dark photo that looks out over a roof. Several people on his Twitter turned up the brightness of the photo and pointed out that you can see a small childlike figure at the bottom of the photo. I closed all the blinds and made sure the door was locked and then drank like 5 more beers until I was too drunk to be scared. But now I feel like I'm back at square one. I'm sure it was him. He's not going away. I don't know what to do. 11 days later, November 6th. It's been about 4 months since the first time I dreamed of David. This might be long, but stick with me. Last night I dreamed about him again. It was almost exactly the same as the first time I saw him. In the dream, I saw him in a chair again. I don't have the green chair in my room anymore. This time it was a recliner that I've had for years. He was staring at me, just like the first time. Again, I felt paralyzed and could barely move. But this time, something was different. I still felt mostly immobile, but I could squirm a little bit. I felt more alert. I could move my hands somewhat. David glared at me, and I dreaded what I knew was coming. He was going to get out of the chair and come towards me like before. I had to do something. I keep my phone next to my bed and somehow managed to get a hold of it. I thought, if David's going to kill me, maybe I can at least get evidence on my phone, and I started snapping pictures in the dark. Sure enough, he crawled down off the chair and began shuffling towards me. He moved slowly, like it was a struggle for him. I felt terrified, but I kept taking photos. David limped closer towards me, never taking his eyes off me, and soon I was face to face with him. He started mumbling something, too quiet for me to understand. I watched as his eyes rolled back into his head until they were all white. I tried to wiggle away from him, but I could barely move. I stared in horror as he began crawling up onto my bed, still murmuring something. And that's when I wake up. Same as before. Broad daylight, no trace of David anywhere. It's almost a routine now. But it was a dream after all, so I got up and went to work, and after a while, the stress of the dream melted away. I wasn't even going to write about this since it wouldn't really be any new information. But tonight I noticed something that petrified me. I went into my phone to find a picture from a couple days ago and saw dozens of pitch black photos in my camera roll, all from last night. He then includes a dark photo that shows a blurry figure. Again, all these can be found on the Weird on the Rocks Facebook page. He continues, "This is the one that made my heart drop." And he shows a closer up photo that clearly shows a small child with a deformed head. Usually I can come up with some excuse for what's happening, but I have no explanation for this. So now I'm sitting here on my couch, freaking out. I certainly won't be able to sleep. I just feel like I needed to get this out. 11 days later, November 17th. For everyone asking, yes, I'm alive. I've been on the quiet side because there's something I'm trying to investigate, and I'm not sure how to yet. I'd rather not tweet unless I have something substantial to share. It's also sort of hard to explain the logistics of what I'm trying to find out, but I'll do my best. Basically, there's a part of my apartment that I'm just now learning about. At least, that's what I think. To refresh your memory, I live in a duplex. I used to live on the first floor, and now I live on the second floor. It's a long, boxy building. The other day, I was tweeting the most recent update from the living room couch. About 30 seconds after I sent the last tweet, I heard a thump directly above my head, as if someone above me had dropped something on the floor, which is impossible because I'm on the top apartment. There's also no access to the roof. There aren't any ladders on the outside of the building. The only way you'd get onto the roof is through a skylight in the hallway. There are no trees in the immediate vicinity either. It definitely wasn't pipes either. It was distinctly the sound of something falling to the floor. My building is old and makes lots of noise, but this was a new sound and it startled me. So I'm thinking, is there some secret crawl space in my home? I look all over my apartment, but I can't figure it out. So I go into the hallway, and that's when something dawns on me. There's no real way to ease into this, so I'll just say it. There's a mysterious hatch in the hallway. I've always known about it, but I just assumed it opened directly to the roof. He includes a photo of a hatch in the ceiling, something most homes have that would lead to the attic. It's really high above the stairs, so I always figured it was impossible to access without some sort of fancy professional ladder. I see that hatch every morning when I leave for work and think nothing of it. But this time something dawned on me. It can't lead to the roof because it's actually below the roof. I'm going to spring some simple math on you, so I apologize in advance. First, the skylight is flat with the roof. I checked Google Earth to make sure. The hatch is about 3 feet below the skylight. meaning there's about 3 feet of empty space between the two openings. He includes a photo of the hatch and the skylight in proximity to one another. I think maybe the hatch leads to a short ladder going to the roof. But even if that's the case, the hatch is level with all the ceilings in my apartment. That means there's 3 feet of empty space all over my apartment. I was ready to explain this away for a few reasons. One, it might just be some sort of insulated space that all residential buildings have. I'm not an architect, so what do I know? It didn't seem relevant enough at the time, so I decided I wasn't going to mention it here. But over the past week and a half, I've been hearing more things from above. A few days after the first sound, I heard a similar thump while I was in the kitchen. Then last night, I heard something small clink to the floor and roll about 6 feet before stopping. Something is going on up there. Maybe it's a raccoon, but maybe it's not. I also can't get over the fact that the hatch is in such a weird, inaccessible place over the stairs. I need to investigate. I'm just not sure how right now. I guess I'll try to buy a long pole off of Amazon to see if the hatch even moves. I might have to buy a construction ladder. At any rate, that's why I've been MIA for a minute. I'll keep you posted when I figure out how to get up there. Okay, I bought a pole. If the hatch is movable, I'll either shell out for the ladder or call my landlord to investigate. 11 days later, November 28th. A lot has happened in the last week, but I was away for Thanksgiving, so I'm just now able to write it all down. The noises from the ceiling haven't let up, but the pole I ordered didn't arrive before I had to leave for the holiday, so I didn't actually get it until late Friday night. I planned to investigate the next morning and went to bed. I'd barely fallen asleep when I woke up to an incredibly loud crash above me. It sounded like someone had dropped a bowling ball. I bolted upright in bed and immediately felt strange. There was a weird energy all around me. I can't explain it. After about a minute, I heard another crash. I briefly thought about grabbing my shoes and booking it, but that would mean passing under the hatch, and that seemed like a bad idea. So instead, I just listened and waited, though I'm not sure for what. The crash happened again, and then again, probably 15 times in a row, followed by long silence. Then I heard a smaller, creaky sound from the hallway. In my mind, I registered it as a footstep, but it really could have been anything. I stayed still, but there was no more sounds after that. I lay back down, still tense and nervous, but I must have fallen asleep at some point because I woke up the next morning and everything seemed normal again. I got dressed and left to go to get a bagel, same as every Saturday. As I made my way down the stairs, something crunched under my feet. I looked down and noticed a pile of debris on the stairs, directly under the hatch. And he includes a photo of a pile of something on the stairs. It looked like dirt, but I couldn't tell for certain. It could have been old plaster or something. I glanced up at the hatch and noticed something else peculiar. The edge of something was caught in it, barely poking out. It's hard to see because it's so far up, but I took a photo. He shows a photo of the hatch with an object sticking out of the side. At that point, bagels were the last thing on my mind. I went back upstairs and grabbed the pole. I set my camera on the coat wardrobe at the top of the stairs and hit record, just to make sure it would be caught on video if a demon burst out of the hatch. He then includes a video of him using the pole to slowly lift the hatch, and something falls out and onto the ground. I jumped out of the way and practically fell down the stairs trying to dodge whatever it was that fell. At first, I thought it was a dead squirrel, which would honestly explain a lot. It hit the steps and bounced down to the first floor. I went upstairs to get my phone and collapsed the pole since it's so long and unwieldy, then went back downstairs to investigate the object that fell. At first, I wasn't even sure what it was. It was dingy and faded black. I picked it up and realized what it was. It was a small leather shoe. He includes a photo of an old-timey looking child's shoe. I hustled back upstairs and texted my landlord. I told him I thought there was something in the crawl space and asked if he could investigate. He said he'd come by later with a ladder and check it out. A few hours later, my landlord was on a ladder, shining a flashlight into the crawl space. I stared up at him, half expecting something to grab him and yank him into the darkness. He angled his flashlight all around and finally said, "There's nothing up here." But then he was like, "Oh, wait." I watched as he reached into the emptiness with his free arm, and when he pulled it back, he had something small and round in his hand. He climbed down the ladder and handed it to me. Again, I wasn't sure what I was looking at. It was smooth and shiny, and at first, I thought it was an old piece of candy, but it was cold and too heavy to be candy. And then I realized it was a marble. It was so worn that I hadn't registered it as a marble at first. Its shape was also sort of weird, with like a little bump on one end. And he includes a photo of him holding a small green marble. My landlord seemed unbothered for the most part. Okay, dude. And he told me to call him if anything else happened. I went inside and headed to my office to see if I could figure anything out about this marble that had somehow made its way into my ceiling. I had nothing to go on, and in short, I didn't really learn much. But I did figure out the bump on the marble, I think. Apparently, in the early 1900s, they made marbles by hand and cut them with big metal scissors, which would mean the marble is probably really old. Anyway, now, I have a decrepit old shoe and a marble sitting on my dresser. I guess this is my new normal. 14 days later, December 12th. Sorry for the long break. I haven't been feeling great the past couple weeks and haven't had time to update. There also wasn't much to say for the most part. I wasn't sleeping well and I was having weird dreams, but they were vague and hard to describe. I'm sleepy all day long and I've been getting sudden bouts of dizziness. I chalked it up to always having earbuds crammed in and made a mental note to get my ears checked. Other than that, things were pretty quiet. I sort of fooled myself into thinking that finding those items in the attic somehow ended all of this. Not that that would really make much sense. But last week, something started to happen. Late on Wednesday, I woke up with a start and felt something strange, like someone had just been watching me. I turned on the light, but I was alone. Still, there was this tangible feeling of badness. Everything felt wrong, sort of like when you have the flu and you wake up at night and you can't really tell where you are for a minute. It was a feeling I'm used to. It always accompanies David. People tweet at me a lot saying he might just need help, but I'm certain that's not the case. Every time he shows up, I feel a palpable sense of malice. That's what I felt that night. Malice, dread. But still, I was alone, and I was so tired, I wound up just going back to sleep. I've been so exhausted recently, I can barely function. The next night, the same thing happened. I woke up suddenly, feeling like I had just missed seeing something. Like a candle had just gone out and I could still smell it. I thought about using the pet cam from the living room to monitor my bedroom while I slept, but the cord was too short to get the camera high enough to see the entire room, so I improvised. I downloaded an app that takes a photo every 60 seconds and set my phone on top of a bookcase. It's almost 7 feet tall, so I had a pretty good view of the bed and the surrounding room. Then I went to sleep. Just like before, I jolted awake hours later feeling the same unease. I turned on the light and hurried out of bed to get to my phone from the bookcase. There were probably 350 photos to scroll through. The vast majority of them were me sleeping in an empty room. It's sort of dark, but you can see me sleeping. I left a couple nightlights on just in case anything showed up, but for the first 100 or so photos, it's just me in an empty room. He includes a photo that shows his dark room with him sleeping in the bed. Then, suddenly, he was there, standing on the chair at the foot of the bed, staring at me. He shows a photo that looks identical, except you can see a small child sitting in the chair next to his bed. In the next photo, from a minute later, he seems to be staring straight up at the ceiling, just staring. Then he appears to collapse on the chair. The next dozen photos are all the same. He's completely lifeless. At first, I thought he was dead, which obviously doesn't make any sense. I looked over at the chair, half expecting him to still be there, but it was empty. He shows a photo that shows the child slumped over forward in the chair. But then in the next photo, he's gone. The room is totally empty again. He's gone in the next several photos too. I figured maybe that was it, but I kept swiping through the photos. About 15 pictures later, he was back, standing next to the bed. It was just like the last time I saw him. He includes another photo that shows the child standing right next to the bed where he is sleeping. That's when my heart started to race. I didn't want to look at the rest of the photos, but I knew I had to. I swiped the next photo and my heart sank into my stomach. He was on the bed, inches from me, staring down at me sleeping. He shows a photo that has the child standing on the bed, staring down at him as he sleeps. The next one was worse, and the next photo he's staring right at the camera. After that, there's seemingly nothing. He disappears again, and the rest of the scroll is just me alone in my room again. That is, until the last photo. Here's the final photo of the scroll. He includes a photo that shows a close-up of David's head right next to the camera. I'm at a loss for words. That malformed ear, that stringy hair, I didn't even know what to think. I looked all over my room but couldn't find anything. And honestly, I've been so exhausted, I didn't even know how to process it. Even now, all I want to do is just go to sleep. 8 days later, December 20th. Hey everyone, I'll be gone for the next week, visiting family back home in Montana for the holidays. It'll be nice to get away from all this for a bit. Thanks for everyone's kind words lately. I'll see you when I get back. 13 days later, January 2nd, 2018. So I've been away from the city for a couple weeks. I went home to Montana for the holidays, and almost immediately, I started to feel better. Less tired, less foggy. Up until now, I haven't really entertained the thought of moving, thinking that David would probably just follow me wherever I go. But when I left for Montana, everything seemed to improve. Like maybe David wouldn't follow me after all. Maybe he was tied to the house, not me. Being home felt safer, and I managed to relax a little bit. I even started browsing listings for new apartments back in New York. The last thing I want to do is move in the middle of winter, but after the last few months, it seemed like it might be worth it. I felt like there might be a way out. But after a few days, I started to feel strange again. One night, I got up to go to the bathroom, and as I stood there in the dark, I couldn't help feeling like there was something moving outside the bathroom window. The bathroom looks out into the backyard. I could barely see anything, but it's Montana, and there are animals passing through all the time. Sure enough, in the morning, I found animal tracks through the snow. I don't know the specific animal. Deer? Elk? He shows a photo of prints in the snow. The next night, the same thing happened. I got up in the middle of the night and thought I saw movement in the blackness outside. This time, I stood at the window and gazed out, straining my eyes to see, waiting for them to adjust to the night. For a long time, I stared out into the snowy darkness, but couldn't see any movement. Then, just as I was about to turn away, I saw something lurch off into the night and disappear from view. Again, it was too dark to make out the animal, but it could have been anything, maybe a coyote or something. In the morning, as I was getting out of the shower, I glanced out the window and noticed tracks behind the garage. I couldn't tell what they were from the bathroom, so I got dressed, put on my coat, and went outside. When I got up close, my heart practically stopped. They weren't tracks. They were footprints. Really small footprints. He shows a photo of small footprints in the snow leading upstairs. I followed them across the backyard, but then they disappeared into the ditch out back. I stood there in the snow, not knowing what to do. What could I do? Call the cops and tell them I found footprints in the snow? The last couple of nights, I was too scared to leave my room. If it had been David out there in the snow, it meant that he could follow me anywhere. No matter where I moved, he could find me. I felt helpless. I flew back to New York the day after Christmas. Back in my apartment, it seemed like I was at square one yet again. I've tried everything I can think of. I've saged my apartment. I've hired a medium. Nothing has worked. And worse, I still feel him at night, watching me from different corners of my room, always getting closer and waking up right before something happens. For the past few nights, I've been using that app that takes photos every couple minutes, but nothing has shown up. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem to work anymore, but I've left it running just in case. It's picked up absolutely nothing, save for one thing from last night. He was hovering above my bed, staring down at me, his mouth moving faster than it should be. I couldn't move. I could only look up at him. Last night was particularly bad. I felt sick and had nightmares all night. I dreamed that David was hovering in the corner by the ceiling, far off the ground. He was mouthing something, but I couldn't hear any words. Suddenly, he plummeted downward, and I felt this huge pressure crash into my chest. I woke up gasping, the wind completely knocked out of me. I sat up and looked around frantically, heaving for air, but there was nothing. When I caught my breath, I retrieved my phone from the dresser. The photo roll showed nothing of note, save for the last photo, taken just a moment before. He includes a photo that shows David laying in the bed next to him. I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss here. I just don't know. 14 days later, January 16th. Sorry for the long delay. Honestly, I wasn't sure I was going to tweet again. After what happened a couple weeks ago, everything stopped. Well, sort of. I wasn't having dreams anymore and I was feeling better. I was sleeping through the night again. Actually, I was feeling great. I still do. But things have been sort of weird too. It's hard to explain. I'll try, but I don't know if any of it makes sense. Basically, as good as things have been for the past couple weeks, I can't shake the feeling that something's off. Like, I've been sleeping fine and I have lots of energy during the day, but sometimes I seem to sort of lose time, I guess. Like, I'll look up at the clock and realize a whole hour has gone by and I don't remember any of it. Or I'll mishear someone and ask them to repeat what they said, but they'll say that they didn't say anything. Little stuff like that. But after what I've been through, that's not a big deal. Despite all that, I felt ready to put it all behind me. So on Sunday, I opened Twitter intending to update you all that it was over. Or at least I thought so. I just want things to go back to the way they were, and it seemed like they had. I was writing something to that effect when I noticed I had way more notifications than usual. I swiped my mentions and saw that everyone was tweeting to me about something I'd posted to my Instagram the day before, saying they saw something weird. The stories are expired now, but I have screenshots, and I don't know how to explain it. Long story short, I went to brunch on Saturday with a friend. I posted a few photos to my story, and they were fairly unremarkable. Here's the first two I posted, totally dumb and normal. He includes a photo of his brunch food and another of him and his friend. They're totally boring brunch photos. I posted one more photo of me and my friend before leaving, and that was that. But the next day, I had a zillion messages about the third photo I posted. People had taken screenshots and sent them to me. This is what somehow got uploaded to my Instagram story. He shows a photo that appears to be him and a friend, but the image is warped, as if it didn't upload correctly. The result makes it look as though the right side of his face is deformed. I have no clue what happened. It looked perfectly fine on my phone when I uploaded it. I'd say it was just a glitch, but I can't make sense of what's happening with my face. Maybe I can. I know what it looks like. What it probably is. But I don't know if I care anymore. I really just want things to be normal again, and things feel normal enough right now. I don't know. I guess I'll keep you updated if something else happens. 12 days later, January 28th, he only posts a video that shows his cat staring at the door and meowing, then turning around and looking around the room. 6 days later, February 3rd, everything is fine. 1 day later, February 14th, please don't worry about me. I'm okay and everything will be like it was before. Smiley face. A month later, March 12th, Adam posts his last tweet about Dear David, saying, "For everyone asking if I'm alive, I'm doing okay. It's been pretty quiet around here lately, and I've been trying to focus on work. Of course, I'll keep you updated if anything strange happens, but for now, I'm staying busy with drawing and other projects." Adam's Twitter feed went crazy with people asking him what was going on, wanting updates and speculating on what happened. Some believed that the entire story was made up, most likely to get Twitter followers and online buzz. However, some truly believed that David was real and that Adam's apartment was being haunted by his spirit. Some people told Adam that he needed to move and that David going silent was a bad thing. People were telling him to bring in a priest to bless his home. Some believed that David was trying to tell Adam something about his death and that he needed Adam's help in some way and he wouldn't truly leave Adam until he got what he needed. And some even believed that David's spirit had taken over Adam's body and that is why all of a sudden Adam seemed fine and was no longer concerned about David. In the past 2 years since Adam began tweeting about Dear David, he has not posted any updates to the story, but still remains very active on Twitter. Although most believe at this point that the whole story was a hoax, Adam himself has remained adamant that it was true, and he doesn't know why David disappeared as suddenly as he showed up. In 2009, the website Something Awful opened up an online Photoshop challenge in which users were challenged to create their own paranormal images using Photoshop. Eric Knudsen, under the username Victor Surge, created two black and white images that showed a tall, thin man with long arms and legs wearing a suit, standing amongst a group of children. He named the figure Slender Man, and with these images, he included captions of supposed witnesses of this creature. The caption under the first photo said, quote, "We didn't want to go, we didn't want to kill them, but its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time. 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead," end quote. And the caption under the second photo said, quote, "One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformity cited as film defects by officials. Fire at library occurred 1 week later. Actual photograph confiscated as evidence. 1986, photographer Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986. End quote. Soon, these photos and the story of Slender Man went viral. People began making their own photos and writing short stories about the figure on a site called Creepypasta. Among the stories of people supposedly seeing Slender Man, many also worked together to create an origin story of the figure, making Slender Man truly come to life. One user, Thorough Up, contributed a story set in 16th century Germany about a character called Der Grobmann, implied to be an early version of Slender Man. New images of Slender Man began to show up online, many of which claimed to be old, proving that he had been around for centuries. This included an image of a German woodcut from the 16th century that depicted a large skeletal figure sealing a child away from its parents. Another person online shared what they claimed to be ancient cave drawings from Brazil that showed a tall, thin figure. Over time, as more people began to contribute to the origin of Slender Man, a more concise story of the character emerged. In 2011, a Yahoo user posted the following description, saying, quote, "The Slender Man is a supernatural creature that is described as appearing as a normal human being, but he is described as being 8 feet tall and he has vectors or extra appendages that are described to be sharp as swords. The creature is known to stalk humans and cause many disappearances. He is a shadow figure that is missing a face. The creature fits into many mythologies and legends from nations such as Germany and Celts, which brings up the possibility that he could be real. A man named Victor Surge found this legend and made his own version of it, which he called Slender Man. The Slender Man is not exactly evil according to mythology, but Victor Surge's version shows him as an evil creature that stalks humans to kill. In mythology, he was actually trying to save you from a painful death by taking you to the underworld early, end quote. However, some online had different opinions on Slender Man, believing that he had what they referred to as proxies, which were humans that would do his killing for him. It was believed that if you went deep enough into the woods, that you would find Slender Man out there waiting for you. People began posting videos of them going into the woods, and Slender Man could be seen standing in the dark shadows, watching them. Over the years, with more and more people contributing to Slender Man's story, the character moved further and further away from its original storyline. People who were just now hearing of the mysterious character were unaware of its Photoshop challenge origins, and instead were finding hundreds of photos, videos, and supposed eyewitness accounts of seeing Slender Man. In particular, children and teens were finding these stories and believing them to be true. In 2014, friends Morgan Geyser, Anissa Weir, and Peyton Lutner, who went by Bella, had gotten together to celebrate Morgan's 12th birthday. They began the night roller skating at the local skating rink, then went back to Morgan's house. They continued to play games, listen to music, and dress up, before eventually falling asleep. The next morning, the girls played around with costumes, dressing up as Data from Star Trek, a troll, and a princess. They then had breakfast of fruit and donuts, then asked Morgan's mom if they could walk to the nearby park, which she agreed to. As they walked to the park, Morgan lifted her shirt and showed Anissa that she had a steak knife, and Anissa nodded back to her. Once they got to the park, the girls played on the swings for a while until Morgan suggested that they play hide-and-seek in the woods. Once inside the woods, Morgan attacked Bella with a knife, holding her down and stabbing her 19 times in the arms, legs, and chest. Bella was screaming and trying to get away, and Morgan and Anissa picked her up and moved her deeper into the woods away from the main trail. There, they left their friend Bella to die, telling her they were going to get help. 5 hours later, Morgan and Anissa were picked up by sheriff deputies off the side of the highway. When asked where the blood on their clothing came from, Morgan said, quote, "I was forced to kill my best friend," end quote. Morgan and Anissa were both taken to the police station for questioning, and Bella, who was miraculously still alive, was taken to the hospital where she was rushed into emergency surgery. Police would later say that both Morgan and Anissa both seemed shockingly calm and not as though they had just been through a traumatic experience. Detective Michelle Trussoni said, quote, "I have never gone into an interview so blind as I had in this one. I thought that maybe this was a fight about a boy," end quote. One of the first questions Morgan asked was, quote, "Is she dead? I was just wondering," end quote. And Detective Tom Casey said that it seemed as though she was truly curious if her friend was alive or not, but not that she actually cared. Both girls, who were interviewed separately, began to answer questions about what they did and why. Anissa said that she had heard about a man on the internet named Slender Man and had introduced Morgan to the stories. She said that Morgan then became obsessed with him, saying, quote, "I told her about him, and then she said, oh my God, I think I saw Slender when I was like 5, end quote. Both girls told detectives that they believed that Slender Man was evil and wanted to kill kids, and the only way to not get killed themselves was to kill someone for him as a way to prove their loyalty. Anissa said, quote, "He has these proxies, or servants as people call them." Morgan said, "Hey, Anissa, we should be his proxies." And I was like, "Okay, how would we do that?" And she said, "We have to kill Bella," end quote. When Detective Trussoni asked why she thought they had to do that, Anissa said, quote, "Because we had to prove ourselves worthy to Slender," end quote. Both girls also said they believed Slender Man had a mansion in the Nicolet National Forest where he lived with all of his proxies. Morgan said, quote, "He can be anywhere from 6 to 14 feet tall. He's a tall guy who constantly wears a suit. He doesn't have a face. His skin is white. I actually thought that he was real because I saw him. We were like talking on the bus. I look out the window and I see this thing standing like this with tendrils. Looks exactly like a tree. There and gone like that. I was really scared knowing that Slender Man could easily kill my whole family in 3 seconds," end quote. Eventually, detectives were able to get the two young girls to describe the vicious attack they performed on their friend. Morgan and Anissa both said that the other was the one to initiate the attack, but they agreed upon the fact that they had been planning the attack for almost 6 months. Morgan said, quote, "You have no idea how difficult it was to not tell anyone. We would all be together. It was a flawless plan, actually. We used code words. Like, for knife, we said cracker. For the killing, we would use words like itch," end quote. They also admitted that they originally planned to kill Bella the night before while she was asleep, but they decided that she deserved one more morning and that they would kill her after breakfast instead. Anissa said, quote, "She was going to hide one place and I was going to hide another, and then Morgan and I were going to be like lionesses chasing down a zebra. I was going to tackle her and then Morgan was going to do the stabbing. So I started walking away and then like when I was 5 feet away, I said, now, I'm like, go ballistic, go crazy, make sure she's down," end quote. Detectives asked Morgan what she did at that point and she said, quote, "I already told you, stab, stab, stab. It was weird. I felt no remorse. I thought I would. I actually felt nothing," end quote. Detective Trussoni said, quote, "It's almost as if they were writing their own story. They're living their own creepypasta story. I mean, you don't often see this with adults, and to have this happen between 12-year-olds is absolutely horrifying," end quote. Luckily, Bella was able to make a full recovery. A week after the attack, Detective Shelley Fisher was able to visit her in the hospital. Fisher said, quote, "I asked Peyton, Bella, how the attack stopped, and she simply said that Morgan just stopped and stared at her, that both her and Anissa for a while just stared at her with this blank stare. They told her they were going to get her help, but Anissa flat out said, no, we weren't getting her help. We wanted her to die," end quote. Both Morgan and Anissa were charged as adults with attempted first-degree intentional homicide. Investigators began to go through the girls' homes and personal belongings to try and find any evidence related to the case. They discovered a journal in Morgan's locker filled with writings and drawings about Slender Man, and in her room, they found dolls with their arms and legs cut off. They also found a large amount of activity on the family computer. Detective Casey said, quote, "In looking through the Geyser home computer, there were literally thousands of internet searches that were done. How to get away with murder? What kind of insane am I? She was searching these things ahead of time," end quote. Detective Trussoni said, quote, "Definitely had a clear sense of who the ringleader was, who was driving this. It was definitely Morgan," end quote. During the investigation period, Morgan was diagnosed with early onset schizophrenia. Although this is uncommon to surface in someone so young, her father also has schizophrenia, making the chance of his offspring to also suffer from the disorder much more likely. Both girls eventually entered not guilty pleas by reason of mental disease or defect. Right before Anissa's trial date, she pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of attempted second-degree intentional homicide. She appeared before a jury who decided whether or not she was criminally responsible for the attack. They found her not guilty on reason of mental disease or defect and sentenced her to 25 years in a state institution. Morgan entered the same plea of guilty of attempted first-degree homicide. The court decided not to challenge her insanity defense due to her schizophrenia diagnosis, and they sentenced her to 40 years in a state institution. Both girls are now 19 years old and are being held at the Winnebago Mental Health Institute in Wisconsin. In October of 2019, Peyton Bella Leutner was interviewed on 2020. She said that Morgan wrote her a letter from the state institution that said, quote, "I wish I had words that can make everything better, but I don't. So all I can say is how sorry I am, and I can promise you not a day will go by that I don't regret what I did. Stay strong," end quote. Bella said the letter was, quote, "a nice gesture, but that they're just words on a piece of paper," end quote. When asked about the reason behind the attack, Bella said, quote, "After I heard why Morgan did it, I was like, well, this doesn't surprise me at all because Morgan believed so hard in this thing that she would do anything for it," end quote. She also said that she believed adult court was the right place for them to be tried, saying, quote, "Adult crime is adult court. If they'd stolen a candy bar, sure, that's a child. But you tried to kill somebody. That's an adult crime," end quote. In January of 2019, Morgan's lawyers challenged the decision of her being tried as an adult in court at the age of 12, asking to be retried in juvenile court, but the appeal was denied. And in November of 2020, Anissa's lawyers filed a petition for her release, stating that she is not a danger to society. A hearing is scheduled for March 2021. Okay, so that is it for today's episode. Both of these stories are ones that I followed while they were happening in real time and are stories that have always intrigued me. And I knew that I really wanted to do episodes about them, so I figured I would just combine them in one episode. With the Dear David story, I discovered it while it was still happening, and I was really invested in it while it was going on. I was checking daily to see if there were any new developments, and I remember while it was happening, I totally thought it was real, as I think many people did. But afterwards, with how the author of the tweets kind of just stopped talking about it and moved on. I thought that it was probably fake and possibly, you know, just a way to get attention because he's an artist and probably just wanted to get more followers. And honestly, you know, if that's the case, I'm not really even mad about that because I think taking the time and energy to create a story like that and keep it up for months deserves to get some attention. There are so many people out there now trying to get internet famous, become influencers and whatnot, and there's absolutely no creativity or originality anymore, it seems like. So I respect that Adam actually created something that was entertaining at least. And there are definitely people who believe the story is real. And Adam himself is still adamant that it really happened. So who knows? Maybe Dear David is still out there somewhere. As for Slender Man, I first heard about this in 2011, I believe, from a friend of mine who showed me some of the photos. And I remember being super creeped out. I included some photos on my Facebook and Instagram. But if you have time, go look up some more photos and especially some videos of Slender Man. People have gotten really creative and have made some very realistic images and photos that are super creepy, even to me as a grown adult. So I can't imagine finding those things as a kid on the internet. If I was 12 and discovered Slender Man, you bet your ass, I definitely would have been super into it and I definitely would have believed it was real. I was 12 when I first started reading Stephen King and I was getting into like scary movies and scary stories, things like that. And I think it's natural for young kids and teenagers to be intrigued by things like Slender Man because it's so like taboo and it's things we're not supposed to know about. And I think unfortunately in the case of Morgan and Anissa that Morgan had an underlying undiagnosed mental illness that made it difficult for her to distinguish between real and make-believe, which is already hard for children, even if they don't suffer with mental health issues. And she truly believed in Slender Man, and she admitted to even seeing him at times, which she probably did if she was having hallucinations. It's very sad that she wasn't being treated for her schizophrenia. And it's even sadder that she was able to bring in a friend who was obviously very naive and very gullible and went along with this horrible, vicious plan. I absolutely think that both those girls are in the right place in a mental institution, and they both need to be there for a while in order to be fully rehabilitated and to hopefully eventually one day rejoin society. I know that the original creator of Slender Man has said that he had no idea when he created these photos that people were going to run with it and make Slender Man into this entire character with this whole backstory, and that it really has gotten out of hand and so far away from the original intent with the photos, which really was just to entertain people and make something creepy. I recently went onto the Slender Man subreddit, and there are many people on there who are adamant that Slender Man is real, and some claim to have seen him. And I don't know if these people are, you know, just looking for attention or being sarcastic, trying to be funny, but there is still a very large community out there of people who are invested in the Slender Man character. There have been video games about Slender Man, movies, documentaries, books, and whole internet sites and forums dedicated to him. And it's really interesting to see how this one character really took over the internet, so to speak, and that 12 years later after its creation, it's still a thing. People are still talking about Slender Man. I think that with the internet and social media and the things that people are able to create now, that there's a lot more room for fun entertainment, but also that means there's a lot more opportunity for things to go wrong and people to take things too far, like with what happened with these two girls. I think that with virtual reality and things like that, that we're really going to be seeing a lot more stories like this probably, and new modern crimes that we've never seen before involving the internet and social media and technology. But as always, I want to know what you guys think. Had you ever heard of Dear David's story? I'm sure most of you have heard of Slender Man, but were you aware of this specific case? My husband, who spends a lot of time on the internet, knew about Slender Man, but he really had no idea about this story of these three girls and was very surprised when I explained the whole thing to him that these two little girls use Slender Man as the reason to murder their friend. It is just really baffling, the whole story. So let me know your thoughts on these two stories. You can find the show on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Thank you to today's sponsor, Two Beauties Skincare and Makeup. And don't forget to visit their site, twobeauties.org, and use the code WEIRDONTHEROCKS for 10% off your order. You guys got to get on that. They have some awesome stuff, so take advantage of that code. As always, thank you for hanging out with me today and for supporting the show. I appreciate every single one of you. And until next time, cheers and stay weird.
That was a Titancast episode.